Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome to another episode of the realm of heroes and monsters story time with me, your host, AP Fuchs. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can tell the winter beard is getting way out of hand. It's all over the place. Take the hat off for a sec. You can see I got like dark brown, wild, crazy hair. And yeah, we're basically in winter mode in terms of appearance here. So it's nothing spectacular to look at, but it does keep you warm. Especially here in Manitoba, where with the wind chill, it can get as low as minus 55 Celsius. I don't remember the conversion to Fahrenheit, but that's pretty cold. But anyway, yeah, the facial hair certainly does a good job of keeping me warm in the meantime while I'm out there shoveling the driveway and that sort of stuff. And of course, too, you know, when I do shave it and you step outside for that first time and the slightest breeze, whether it's warm or cool or cold, it's just like it attacks your chin and cheeks like it's nothing. Like it just, you suddenly feel everything. So it's a peculiar thing. You do feel naked. You literally feel like facially naked and even almost bodily naked because of the way that, I guess, the signal goes to the brain or something. You just feel something's off. You know, it's like those guys who, you know, you're constantly wearing a wedding ring, right? And then you have to take it off for whatever reason because you're fixing something or it's a work protocol thing or whatever. And you feel like you're lost without it. Or same with watches, right? Take your watch off. Some guys just without their watch, it's like they might as well be naked, like 100% naked. So anyway, enough of that. Let's get into the show. We're going to do story before the story, of course, and then we're going to do story time. So ready? Go. Welcome to Story Before the Story, where this season we're looking at stories being part of our everyday lives, how our whole lives involve stories all the time. And it's true. So we've been doing this topically, and so please review the previous episodes to see what other stuff we've talked about, things like dreams, things like memories, all kinds of storytelling elements. And so for this episode, what we're going to talk about is the online persona, right? So like some of us, let's do social media as an example. It's really good to use it that way. So like, yeah, there's quite a few people on social media, you know, who are just being themselves and doing their own thing and talking about their lives and blah, blah, blah. And we kind of covered this in the previous story before the story segment where we talked about filling in the gaps ourselves of this person's lives, thus creating a narrative so we could connect the dots, therefore creating this person into a character as opposed to who they really are. And we know now from, you know, when you do your scrolling and whatever, you know, you'll come across reels or people doing skits or people doing interviews on the street or whatever. But what's interesting is this, all these people, not in a fictitious storyline, you know, they're not a character of some kind. They're just being themselves, but they're doing like a reaction video or, like I said, interviews on the street or whatever. And that in and of itself is a character that they're playing. You know, we don't know them. And so a lot of like stuff that obviously that you see online, even from people who are people, is fiction. It's made up. It's an online persona, you know, especially in the arts community. There are many who have sort of a either artist or writer persona that they kind of portray. I know one guy, his whole thing is kind of being the grumpy, angry writer kind of character. Like he's a nice guy like in his real life, but he, in terms of like how he portrays himself to the public, he's like the angry, angsty writer with some grit and that kind of stuff, you know. And then there's other ones where like those who write, say, adult material, you know, the author persona is typically somebody very sexual and that sort of stuff, and they come across, you know, sometimes flirty or just those put in the innuendos or whatever, because it all complements their work, right? And so we're getting, again, a character. We're not getting who they really are. So they're giving us a story that's actually behind their story because it's behind their story because they're the ones who wrote it. So, yeah, so like I said, it's just fiction is everywhere, and we're doing it to each other online all the time. You know, even the person who posts like all the funny memes and stuff, we would think they're hilarious. They're great sense of humor, but you know what? Maybe in real life, they're actually an alcoholic and they're miserable and everything sucks. And memes are their way to get, plus some positivity rolling. So bottom line is we're all fake online to a degree. And part of the efforts of, at least speaking for myself in terms of my artwork, in terms of my writing, in terms of this podcast, in terms of YouTube videos, everything I do, I'm trying to combat that with, I'm only one voice, of course, amongst, literally billions of people, but I'm trying to combat that with honesty and transparency, and so that you're not getting a character. You're getting as much me as I'm comfortable to share with the rest of the world, So I guess to a degree, actually, that's I made a mistake there. You are getting a character because you don't not getting the whole me. But the idea here is like is the honesty angle, so that at least when it comes to people reviewing my own stuff, my own entertainment that I'm giving you, the old the books, the comics, whatever, that they know the person behind it authentically, as opposed to a persona or a character that's been created to push the material. So anyway. Enough about that. Let's get right into story time because it's important and that's why we're here, right? Right. Cheers. Under the World. All Anne Below could assume was her death triggered the mutation, or zombification, or vampirification. It was pitch black, and she knew exactly where she was. Her coffin, 6 to 8 feet beneath the ground. She had killed herself by hanging, her last memory dangling by a housecoat rope from a beam in her parents' basement. The last thing she saw was the fading image of her barely swinging feet before all went dark. Then she woke up here, surrounded by plush lining and, when she pressed up hard against the lining in front of her, the wood on the other side. Even if she hadn't really died, the embalming process would have done her in. Yet here she was, just fine. She smelled her forearm. It didn't stink of rot nor of any chemical, so that ruled out her having become one of the undead. She felt the same forearm for fur or extra hair in case she had turned into a werewolf, and it was as smooth as it always was. She felt her teeth, thinking maybe she'd find fangs and prove her vampire theory. Instead, they were straight and normal. Anne pressed her palm to her chest, the steady rhythm of her heartbeat beneath her touch, which indicated she was indeed alive. She could think. She was aware. Her mind was clear. Those were indicators her brain was just fine, too. But her heart, what was it pumping? Certainly not blood. When embalmed, all natural bodily fluids were drained. She put the tip of her index finger to her teeth while pressing a bulge of skin together against it with her thumb. She bit down hard and pulled. The immediate sharp pain of the bite as she yanked her finger from her mouth made it throb with pain. She placed her finger on her tongue. Warm, coppery blood swarmed her taste buds. Whatever fluids that had been used on her body had either been flushed out or replaced. She put her hand between her legs to see if she expelled the artificial fluids that way, but instead came up dry. Was she immortal? Maybe if she was 105 and was still ticking, sure, maybe then she'd entertain the possibility her life was endless. But that wasn't the case. She was only in her early 40s, too early in age to consider living forever. She moved back in with her folks after her husband died and used his life insurance money to help take care of them. She didn't want to dwell on the reasons she offed herself, like the parental control over her life, despite her doing them a favor. Not right now, anyway. She pressed up against the casket. It didn't budge, nor did she expect it to. The weight of the earth above would ensure its closure, and, if the casket was also in a burial vault, there was no way of getting out, and she had no way of knowing if that was the case. Air, she thought. There's limited air in here. Eventually she'd die from suffocation, but now didn't know if she'd stay dead. The throbbing in her finger had abated. She squeezed it, ensuring blood would leak out. She licked it, and expected to taste what she had before. This time her tongue ran over a tiny rough surface on the skin. A scab. She was healing already. She wondered if the carbon dioxide level in the casket reached poisoning heights and damaged her lungs, if they'd rejuvenate too, and she'd be stuck breathing in poison, then dying, then resurrecting over and over again. Anne clawed at the soft liner beside her, tearing at it until she found the casket's wood on the other side. Her fingers ached and stung from the effort, so she gave them a rest. 15 or so minutes later, they didn't hurt anymore, and she surmised they had healed too. She checked. They were still rough from her efforts, but the pain was gone. Perhaps if she clawed out the side of the casket, wooden layer just by wooden layer, and squeezed through the opening and climbed up through the earth at an angle, it'd be less weight upon her, and somehow she'd get out. Again, that was if there was no burial vault. Can I do anything else? She wondered. She thought of Axiom Man and his ultra strength. Maybe. She pressed as hard as she could against the casket's lid. It didn't move. No super strength for me, she muttered. I'm screwed. Clawing out the side seemed to be the only option. She tried, scraping her fingers raw against the wood. Her nails broke and her fingers bled. The most she got out of her efforts were the fine slivers of wood that had peeled off the casket. It would take forever just to get through this one spot, never mind make an opening she could fit through. She thought of Axiom Man again and how he could shoot energy beams from his eyes. She thought of Red Saw and how he could somehow do the same from his hands. But how to summon these powers, if she had them, she didn't know. Then she wondered if she could fly. She focused on her eyes, her hands, and willed them to send forth some kind of energy. Nothing happened. She focused on her body and imagined it rising up the few inches of room she had. Nothing. No movement. But to fly. She tried again. Not that flying inside a cramped casket would be of any help, but at least it'd tell her she could do something special besides rejuvenate. Her fingers were already void of pain. They would be healed over soon, she supposed. Maybe with patience she could claw through the wood? A round of pain, healing, more pain, healing, over and over until she broke through? Anne focused on her body. Up, up. Go up. She imagined herself rising off the casket bedding and pressing against its lid. Imagine pressing against it so hard she'd push through whatever was on the other side and emerge above the dirt instead of being here underneath the world. She imagined, she hoped, she prayed. A low rumble drilled into her ears as her body rose and pushed against the casket lid. A strange scraping and sandy sound began somewhere on the other side of the barrier. I'm flying. I'm doing it. I'm. The rumble sounded louder, and what had to be dirt crunched and moved on the other side of the lid. Her body forced the casket upward, and she envisioned the dirt parting as she brought her confines towards the surface. I guess there was no burial vault, she thought. Maybe her parents didn't see a point of one. No matter. She was moving. The whole casket was moving. The dirt was moving. The scraping, pebbly and sandy running of coarse earth. Then the sound eased, then stopped completely. Push, she thought. The casket's top and bottom lids burst open and she rose horizontal into the air. The sudden onset of panic kicked in and she flailed her arms and legs as she lost concentration and fell to the ground beside her grave. She lay there, still, and caught her breath. What the hell just happened? She raised her head and looked back over her shoulder. The memorial marker was already installed. For how long it had stood there or how long she had been beneath the earth, it was impossible to tell. Perhaps the air had stayed oxygenated because no breathing had taken place until not long ago. It was dusk now, and the remaining sunlight shone on her name. Anne Below, born November 12, 1974, died November 12th. 2017. Our little girl, always. There was no snow, so she must have been under for 6 months at minimum. 6 months that went by in a blink of darkness, and now here she was, alive, with the ability to heal and apparently move things with her mind. Redeemed, reborn, telekinetic, powerful. She just didn't know where to go from here. thanks for sticking around to after the credits as per usual. So here's a little announcement, so to speak, in terms of what you can expect from me coming up over the next, let's just say, couple of months, roughly. What's it going to appear like is I'm going to be kind of not releasing a bunch of stuff outside of, you know, some content in the podcast and whatever. But behind the scenes, I got a whole pile of stuff happening all at once, being created all at once, being developed all at once. So what's going to end up happening is at some point, there's going to be this avalanche of stuff coming out, just one thing after another. I'll try to space them out a little bit because I don't want to dump everything on everybody at once. But the idea is, yeah, like right now, I'm just kind of building up this pile of work that is in the process of being completed. And then what's going to happen is it's just all going to flow outward. And you're going to get everything. And the Kickstarter is part of that project for the Axiom Man figure. So be sure to keep an eye out for that, because I really want that figure to succeed. So yeah, so that's what I want to just let you know. Like right now it's going to seem kind of like not much is going to be produced in terms of, say, like, you know, books or comics or whatever. But then all of a sudden it's going to be like, boom, there it is. So, boom, there it is. Everybody together. Boom, there it is. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, let's do that. Boom, there it is together next week. See ya.